What you doing? I'm DAC Stories, your otakutainer for this Otakutainment Reviews. I'm talking about a short novel called Our Bubble of Stars by Tosin Balogun, art by Manina Ilagan, and published by Moonquill. And now, the main reason I am reviewing this specific book is because a couple weeks ago, I won a giveaway from Moonquill that got me 5 random paperbacks. This is one of them. It's actually, of the 5, the oldest. I thought it was the newest, but it's the oldest, it's the shortest, and so I decided to do this one first, and I like it. It's short though. It's only at about 152 pages divided into 3 parts, which works for what I feel like it's trying to do, but I feel like there should have been one more part to it and to really wrap things up and have a resolution. But because of the mood, the kind of depressing melancholy that is whatever this story is supposed to be, or lack thereof of a story, it's more just like a moment you're watching. It fits. It works. I just feel like one more part would have done it. Now, there's 15 usually short chapters, mainly 10 to 9 or 20 to 9 pages long. And the interesting thing that they do, they're all one word that spells out overall, there are too many stories being told for all of them to have happy endings. And it's interesting. And I tried really hard to look into each chapter to see if that specific word made a difference. I don't think I did. I think it was just a clever thing to do with chapters that I haven't seen done before, so I admit that. But didn't go much deeper than that, which is fine because at some point it would just be convoluted, I guess. But I like the creativity with that, and all that line is, and I'll get later when I get into specifics, is something a character says at one point. This is my kind of story. It really is, because for some reason I like these more depressing, the melancholy of it, and the whole point is it's supposed to represent like the depression of the main character Io, and it really does reflect that and does a good job with it. But it's not a typical story. There's not really a climax. It's not really, like, there's definitely a beginning and showing how the character gets in the situation. But it really is just like, here's a moment of what's happening. The main character dies, goes, meets these 2 gods, and he pretty much just goes and watches memories a little bit, looks at the futures of his friends he left behind, and just trying to see if his life mattered. It really reminds me of like A Wonderful Life, but with no resolution. It's just like, oh, this is what happens after you die, and that's it. No going back. There's nothing. He stays dead. He can move on and just stop, which is kind of, if you ever seen Good Place, kind of like how that ends. You spend as much time in the afterlife as you want, and then you can just kind of cease ending, and then that's kind of where it's leading to. But it also just kind of stops. But yeah, it's my kind of story, but also, I don't know, it feels like it was really just going for that mood, trying to set this depressive mood more than it was like, oh, here's a full-fledged story, beginning, middle, end, climax, twist, all the stuff. There's none of that. It's just like, here you go, you're sad now. It's like, oh, okay. However, there are some, like, light, humorous moments with his friends whenever they're talking, hanging out. They just talk about dumb stuff. A lot of penis talk. Well, just a lot of dick jokes and stuff like that. I don't even know they're jokes. I feel like it's just a lot of like penis talk. I don't know. It's weird. It's funny though. It is humorous. And also throughout, just scattered, there's a lot of references that really date, maybe not the book, but the author. Like, I really have a good feeling of the age range that Tosin is, which is a few years younger than me, because I get all the references, but they're not my time. They're literally, I feel like, right after me, but they're not like high schoolers now. Like, there's not the stuff my youngest brothers are saying. So yeah, I don't know, it's just stuck out to me so easily. It's like, it's a very specific subculture that's going to get this, and then like in a few years maybe no one even get it, but I appreciate it. And then the setting, it takes a really long while. We get a mention of the high school right away. It's Myrna Hills High School. And eventually it does say Georgia near the end. It eventually says that they're within driving distance of Atlanta. Just trying to do a little research into what kind of setting it is before all that became clear. Maybe it's based off of Myrna Heights in Georgia, which is a very small or like not well known of area. So me just guessing, not trying to pinpoint where Tosin lives, feel like probably Georgia area. This is writing probably from experience and own feelings and just life in general. So yeah, Georgia location, nothing special, nothing fancy about the setting, because really there's not a lot of scenery and stuff that are as described. A little bit, very little sprinkled, and that also goes into the characters too. I almost have no idea what any of these characters look like. Luckily, we get a picture of the main character, Aya, Nigerian, and just the main character, but depressed, really doesn't think much of himself, and just going around, and that's all really know. We know his parents are kind of harsh, very strict, blaming it a lot on that's just how Nigerians are. Nigerian parents, but then you hear that about every culture, Asian parents, other, I guess, African parents, Latino parents, apparently white parents not, but it is, that's just parents in general, and all parents are different. But then he has three other friends, Momo, the girlfriend, apparently, from what I can tell, I'm pretty sure Japanese. I don't remember if it explicitly says that, but I think it makes references, definitely Asian, but 6'3"? Like a really boss type. I'm 6'3", so I'm trying to imagine, and I think really scrawny too, if I remember correctly. I don't know, but a 6'3" Asian woman is fascinating to me. Not trying to like exotic size it or anything, but I've just never seen it, and I don't know if it was just making fun of her, like picking at her, like exaggerating. But Momo is the one I have the hardest time imagining. Because it just seems outrageous, and they always seem to kind of be poking fun. But yeah, these two are dating. Aya really seems to more on the physical attraction and simping over Momo, while Momo, as a whole, just seems like a genuinely caring person for Aya and his mental health. But he's also, Aya compares her to like the sexier Asian Jennifer Lawrence. Momo wants to be an actress. Aya has no goals or interests, so there's that. Then we have, are they twins? I don't remember if he exactly says they're twins, but two siblings at least. Jireh, I think that's how you say it, J-I-R-E-H, and Jonah Edison. I guess they're twins. They look just alike, curly red hair, apparently Jewish. Don't really get much more appearance wise for them. Really hard to picture them, but I guess stereotypes at least help me picture this, if anything that feels bad. But Jireh sings, Jonah's already as a high school has a publishing deal, but he's lazy though. And that's all the real goals we see. They just finished high school, and I don't know. It's really important that these characters should have been established, like how they look, more of their personalities. You get some of their personality, really. If anything, that's what you get the most of, which helps. But how they present themselves, how they look, stuff like that really is important, because we go and we see the future of these characters, and there's not too much to compare it to. Really, the only comparison we get is Jireh later, and that we don't even get the description early, we get it later. It's like, oh, this is what Jireh looked like before and now, and it's weird that we didn't get more description of characters. I don't know, this is one of the things I really get onto a lot of authors is, I wouldn't say lazy writing, but there's just so much more that could have been added, and maybe it would feel bogged down, but that's just, I hate, like, skill as an author is figuring out how to add this stuff without weighing it down too much or dragging on, and it could have been done. There's just not enough for me to go on to picture these characters, which is a shame. At least give us a picture, like a literal picture of each character like we did for Aya. So I'm going to break down part for part what kind of happens, because I feel each part really is a big moment for what every story there is. Part one being, for those who would miss me, it's almost like each part is writing a letter, but really not. It just feels like clever or like trying to nice sounding titling, but It literally starts right after graduate high school. None of them really seem fond of it, which kind of goes into this high school mindset of they want to get out, but they're also going to miss high school. There's nothing special about high school. Like, I feel like an asshole saying it. Grow up. It was high school. You were a child. Be an adult now. You don't have to give up and be like a boring typical adult. Get over high school. But yeah, they're just chilling in the parking lot. Other high school, drinking cheap whiskey. They make this go on. Mainly joking around. There's some awkwardness. Mama have a private conversation just about them caring. And all this is really quick. I told you the chapters are super short. So it really is just like, here's a moment. Here's a little moment. Here's a moment. But they go off to leave the parking lot. They're walking. Ayo lags behind. Ayo crosses the street without looking. He kind of just zoning out, having bad memories or whatever. Bad time, which, you know, it happens. But, yeah, gets hit by a truck. Truck coon gets another one. Whatever. Okay. But, yeah. And that's the first chapter. And it opens talking about rabbit testicles and closes with them thinking about rabbit testicles. And that's the kind of humorous things are like kind of sprinkled along in there. So you got that to look forward to. But while dying, he goes to a memory of like finding a person dead from overdose. And that's it. It's kind of like him trying to cope with dying, but not too much because it's kind of forgotten about later. So yeah, Ayo goes to this white space and meets with a sweater god, who is eventually named God 2, and then a leather-clad Wattpad fuck boy god named God 1. God 1 just seems mean and wants Ayo gone. God 2, the nice welcoming kind. But they don't want to be called gods, but they still act the role and kind of seem like they have god-like power. It never really explains why they shouldn't be called gods, though. Ayo, showing his last moments with friends, parents and killer, he's in the hospital. And then, each character kind of has a moment. Jonah, not so much. But, the killer, named Joshua, the dad says it's not really Joshua's fault. It's Ayo's. And really, yeah, it is Ayo's. It's hard to say that. It's like, yeah, your son just got killed. Of course, the mom, Momo, are torn up about it. Really pissed off at him. But yeah, it is kind of Ayo's fault. He's the one that stepped out from a truck. And we kind of get a feeling that Ayo may have done it on purpose. Or maybe not completely in his right mind doing it on purpose. But like kind of just a reflex or like a just a weird, wild thought. Just stepped out in front of it. I don't know. But now, this is where we see Ayo can choose to see anything at any time until, you know, to decide to stop existing, like I said earlier. Just like The Good Place. And that's where part one ends. Now, part two is for all my runaway hurts. I have no idea what this is supposed to refer to. I think it says it at one point, and I have no idea what it's supposed to mean still. But it opens with a memory of playing video games with Jire. And then it switches to a memory with everyone, and then Ayo telling Momo an untrue secret, which was like Momo got into some school, but Momo actually didn't. But this is weird, and it does it one more time later. Is the perspective is different. The first is like the memory with Jire, however the name is, it's like reliving it, but then the second is like Ayo's watching it, and it's weird. I don't get the point of why it does that. I can't explain. I think if there is an intention, I don't see it. It's just, I feel like inconsistent perspective in writing. I don't know. But this is where, for some reason, Ayo wants to see all his friends 10 years later. And this is where it starts to really kind of get depressing. And it's more like Ayo's attention is not so much to be like, oh, they didn't need me, but so much like trying to somehow confirm nothing, like either whether Ayo died or not, it wouldn't matter. Their lives would still turn into what it was. But the gods are kind of also being like, yeah, it probably would have. And so without saying it, it kind of is like, yeah, if you wouldn't have died, their lives may have been better. But also, maybe not. It starts with Jire again. Jire, pretty much just a boring mom working at State Farm. Supposed to go be a singer. And I think she still went to college, but she was drugged and raped by her daughter's dad, and her son's, Justin's dad, was just kind of a bum and dipped out. But Sydney, her daughter's dad, pops by during this moment. He's looking and trying to, pretty much just begging, like trying to demand to see his daughter. But of course, he doesn't let him. It feels like later he eventually does, but we don't really get a conclusion to it. Huh. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that gets left out. This shouldn't have been so short. Anyways, from there we move on. Let's go see Jonah. And this is where a lot of drama and stuff really picks up, is Jonah, this like author who already had a publishing deal as a high schooler, is a drug addict with heroin. He tricks, kind of lies to his girlfriend Cassie, who believes in him too much, gets money from her, saying he's going to buy food, and he just goes to buy more drugs. Oh, of course. But he's the one that seems to take it the hardest, because we see sprinkled throughout, and that's pretty blatantly obvious. Jonah really likes Io. Io denies it, but we kind of see like Io has some kind of affection, maybe not romantic, but definitely some kind of affection for Jonah. But yeah, Jonah's just a mess. It gets really bad, and then we go to Momo. Momo suddenly stops by Jonah's apartment because she wants to buy some ecstasy. And Momo apparently has been doing great. Famous actress now, really rich, but doesn't actually come to Jonah to get drugs. Just, it seems like, just to support. Doesn't even actually use the ecstasy. I guess it's just to help out. But then Momo is trying to get it back because she's realizing she's just enabling Jonah. Jonah acts like, hits her, and then she leaves. It's bad. And that's where part two ends. And then the last part, part three, for my bubble of stars, referring to still something Jonah references, a lot of Jonah stuff. If anything, I feel like this whole book is more Io's and Jonah's relationship more than Io and Momo, or just Io and his friends in general. But Momo takes an Uber to a club until leaving and crying about Io. Apparently being famous is hard. She definitely has it the best of everyone. And I don't know. I'm not famous, so I don't know the stress of being a celebrity. But she mentions how she's had other boyfriends, some she probably even loved more than Io, but can't forget Io. And yeah, losing a friend as a kid will be really hard. I have plenty of people I know who kill themselves, so I know kind of what it's like, but I guess none that close. And yeah, it's just one of those things. People get too famous and think their life's too hard. I don't want to shit on Momo, but the least of the friends to really have any kind of problems, and just kind of brushing them off somehow. And this gets brought up later, but somehow Momo is still in contact with Jonah, but not Jirite. So I don't know, it doesn't make sense, especially for the explanation. But first, Jonah tells therapists thinking about drowning herself, or just drowning in general, Miss Io, stress of being famous. Okay. And then Io goes back to memories of his first time cutting themselves. Just random memories that pop up. Eventually, Io, just with the stress of everything, randomly attacks God 2. God 1 is actually the one that comforts and starts giving answers, but there's not really answers to give. Then we go to kind of leading up to the end. Jirei and Momo finally have a heart-to-heart. They're at Io's grave. They finally make up. And then eventually Jonah joins. But Momo seemed mad at Jirei because it seemed she just wanted money, which she was struggling. All her money was going to Jonah. She was trying to support her brother. But Momo is still doing the same thing as Jonah, who's just wanting money, and it makes no sense, that kind of thinking. You know, a lot of this stuff just doesn't make sense. It's one of those things I always get into when I do these reviews, or the more I talk about it, the less it makes sense. Ooh, that's unfortunate. But cut to another memory of just the four hanging out on Io's birthday. And then this is where it gets weird again with the perspective, because it seems like it suddenly switches to God 1's perspective. I don't know why. It makes no sense, and it's short. And then it switches back to Io's perspective, ready to move on, but first wants to go to the graduation ceremony, which I guess, you know, graduated from high school, graduating from the afterlife, moving on. But yeah, Io just goes back to apologize to himself, and that's pretty much all we get. The book ends with Io telling himself to just say I love you, but you just get the I love, and then book cuts off. I feel like there should have been a fourth part of actually, I don't know, some kind of resolution, actually a happy-ish ending, because it was, I don't know, something, because it really does feel like it just stopped. Like, he didn't have to. It's nothing. He moved on when he wanted to move on. Nothing should have cut him off. Even though, yeah, he already made his decision. After this is when he was going to go. But I guess that's my biggest disappointment for this book, is it was too short. Which I feel like is, as far as criticism go, a good form of criticism. Is like, I want more to this book. But yeah, there should have been more to it. I don't know the true intention. I feel like it was really just to set a mood more than it was telling, like, an actual story. It was more just to, like, show memories and show, like, what an afterlife of sorts of regret could be. But no real resolution, because who knows if there is actually a resolution to life or death or whatever it's going to be. So that's my main thing, is I just wish there was more to it. I liked everything that was going on. I liked the characters. Like the tone, the setting, the sadness of it. I'm not saying I like being depressed, but it's just for some reason my kind of story. I don't like to compare authors, but I'm a huge Lev Grossman fan, and a lot of those books, the person who wrote The Magicians, it's a lot of just like melancholy, a lot of like, who cares, nothing really matters. And I get a lot of that from this book, which is probably why I really like it. Like I said, I just want more of it, but I don't know. So there's a thing I always like to do with all my reviews, is talking about the title. And Our Bubble of Stars really just goes, and you can kind of see it, and it kind of comes from Jonah and Io just laying out, watching the stars, like just trying to be poetic more than actually meaning anything though. And then there's a subtitle on the title page that it continues it with Don't Bring Tomorrow. I guess it's me trying to interpret it as like Our Bubble of Stars, meaning our significance, our life, what our lives bring. Our destiny isn't really meant to bring tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. No one is that special enough to think the stars revolve around them. So that's me trying to interpret and look further into what all this can mean. But there's a lot you can look into in this book for sure. But just a lot more that could have been added for sure. But that's all I really have to say about it. Probably a lot more than I intended to. But don't get me wrong. I like the book. That's why I wanted more. I don't know if there's Tosin has any other books. Planning on writing anything else. Continuing this maybe. I don't know. It really sets up a whole lot that could be done with it. But I think that's it. That's probably it. If you want to find more of Tosin and Moonquill, I'll include social media stuff for that in the description. But that's all I have to say about this book. If you want to talk more about it, of course, you can leave comments. I'll of course, answer those. Let me know if you read this book, if this book interests you, if I kind of ruined it, if I didn't, if you're looking more forward to it. I know the way I talk about some stuff probably comes off as a bit confusing, but yeah, I mean, that's how I feel about it. And this is a way for me to talk about it. So yeah, you can do that. You can also find me on social media, The AC Stories. You can email me at thestories@gmail.com. I have a Discord you can join. And also, I have a Ko-fi. If you want to help support me with a little money, I have a Ko-fi, $1, $2 tier. $1 tier gets you a special Discord channel and shout-outs on everything I make, these videos, for example. And then $2 tier gets you the notes I use when I'm making these, other little bloopers, stuff I write that I just want to throw out there. So if you want to do that, I appreciate it. Completely voluntary, but either way, I appreciate it. But yeah, if you liked what I had to say about this, go and give a like, and easily follow, go ahead and subscribe. But that is all I have to say about this book, Our Bubble of Stars by Tosin Balogun. I have been your otaku tainer, The Ace Stories. That is it. Until next time, thank you so much, and bye.